The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball.
I do think they still have a chance, but I'll say it's all going to come down to that derby, and I think United sort of has that confidence at the minute.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now. The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome back to the Koivic Podcast. My name is Alana Cannan, stepping in for Kathleen McNamee, who's off chasing down some very exciting Koivic content to come your way later this week. Or maybe she's just off celebrating Arsenal's win. Not quite sure, but I'm sure we'll get into all of that. Today, as always, I'm joined by Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron for some breakdown and analysis on all things women's football as of late. There really is only one place to start, guys, the Champions League. Get your flights booked. Barcelona-Arsenal facing off in that clash in Lisbon on May 24th. It was a crazy game between Arsenal and Lyon. Nothing short of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were kind of saying before that Arsenal struggled a little bit with the favourites tag maybe at the Emirates, and Lyon just showed their experience. But it was the complete flip in the fixture. Again, Arsenal then became the underdogs and they just came out and pressed aggressively. And the weird thing is you had a 4-1, we had a 4-1 scoreline. But in patches in the first half, you were still looking at Lyon being like, they're well in this. You know, when they played really well. But when they made mistakes, they handed Arsenal goals. And Arsenal capitalised so well. Like Arsenal had 9 shots, 6 were on target and got 4 goals. Like that return is unbelievable. And Arsenal played really well, but the chances that they were handed by Lyon, they could play that game 10 times over with one leg tied behind their back and they wouldn't make some of those mistakes, really. But all credit to Arsenal, not to take away from it. I couldn't believe what we were seeing from a Lyon team that really impressed me at the Emirates with their game management, with their aggressive press, with how they managed the game, and then to completely go away from that in the second leg. I was just really, really surprised.
It was probably one of those as well where if you just looked at the scoreline from the first leg, you'd kind of go, okay, maybe slightly a convincing win for Lyon. I know it was only 2-1, but then coming into the second leg, a 4-1 win on the day, 5-3 win on aggregate. Like, Arsenal played really well in the first leg, but it just didn't come off for them. And then the second leg, probably you could just say the opposite. It just did.
Yeah, I think it all just clicked for them. And as Karen said there, like, Lyon just weren't up for it, and Arsenal preyed on their downfall, really, and their own mistakes. Like, you look at the goals, even the first one, underhit pass, second one's just a bit of magic from Caldente, which I think it's kind of expected every few weeks that she pops up with something like that. But to do it in the sort of game that was, and under that pressure, was
the timing of that goal was so important as well.
Perfect.
Just before halftime, you always said keep it tight till halftime, because Lyon would have known that they kind of were coughing up a few opportunities at that point. But then first minute of first half, that was just a calamity.
And even on the timing, like, I think they timed all the goals to perfection. Like, to go ahead 4 minutes in, score right before halftime, score right the first minute of the second half, it was perfect. And yeah, like that third goal, you're looking at Guile there, like the 3 goals, I think the first, the third and the fourth are all down to her. Now, it's unfortunate, like, because obviously a world-class player in a big game, you don't want to see stuff like that, but like absolute, like, as you say, calamity at the back there. Like, it's shocking to see at such a high level, but Arsenal were well worth it. Like, they really pressed them aggressively, and that's where their goals came from. Like,
yeah, and as you say, Caldente really standing out there in that one. Just given Arsenal's season to date, it's been so up and down. Like, to get to a Champions League final, looking back on that point where they paired ways with obviously Jonas Seidfeld, like, would they have even envisaged it?
Well, we kind of always spoke about them having the talent, but things not quite clicking. They didn't look like they were kind of cohesive. They weren't on the same page. And I think Slegger has obviously done a really good job of just uniting them for this common goal, because the second half of their season, they've been near perfect, you know, guaranteed themselves Champions League football. They were never quite going to be able to challenge Chelsea just based on how Chelsea kind of dominated at the start of the season. But since then, they're just clicking a bit more. I think obviously Caldente's form, and having Kim Little kind of more consistently in there and not having her injured and stuff, it just brings that extra element of leadership. And then you've got Magic. And also, when someone like Beth Mead isn't maybe 100%, you now have Chloe Kelly to come in. So they've done really, really good business, and they've managed the panel really well. And obviously there was something amiss under Jonas. It had run its course, and maybe he stayed on a little bit too long and they went a bit stale, and they needed this kind of reboot midway through the season. Obviously they'll be disappointed they didn't do it earlier in the season, but if you told them at that point that they get to a Champions League final and be on the run of form that they're in, I think they're going to win their remaining games going into that Champions League final as well, and they'll be really, really confident going into that. It's going to be an intriguing one, because I think Arsenal will either win or get hammered. I feel like there's not going to be an in between for that game.
Would you kind of tend to agree, Scarlett? And then just touching on something Karen said there, obviously a lot of the interviews afterwards I thought it was quite interesting, did focus on, let's say, the likes of Kim Little and what it means to her. And especially given everything those type of players have done for the club, it's nice to see it pay off for them in this way now.
Yeah, it's class, and just the stories to come out of it as well. Like, obviously, it's been a good few years since their last Champions League final, and I think they're a team that sort of always used to pride themselves on their European success. So, it's special for them, that for that group of players as well. And it's great that we have an Irish body in there as well. Obviously, last time we had Emma Byrne and Keir Grant in that team, so it's great that we have an Irish connection in there that we can all get behind them. But yeah, I think the Arsenal definitely didn't need to show up. That's a granted thing. I think if they play any way into their hands like Chelsea did, I think it'll be a hammer, as Karen said. But I think Arsenal are more defensively sound than Chelsea, or definitely probably have been in recent times. And I think that was probably Chelsea's main downfall at the weekend, was defensive errors, just lack of sharpness, lack of pace at the back as well. I know that they changed to a bit of a five, so that had a lot of bodies back, and still couldn't stop Barcelona. So I think if they can get their defensive work solidified before the final and go into that game, obviously trying to break on the counter, when Barca have bodies committed, try get them on the break and press aggressively like they did against Lyon, because I think the same thing will work.
Definitely. And you touch on that Irish aspect. Obviously, Katie McCabe set to play in that one, hopefully does now. And then she'll be the first Irish player since 2009 then to play in a Champions League final. You touched on, obviously, of course, the legacy left by Emma Byrne, Keir Grant, and Yvonne Tracy, who won the UEFA Women's Cup, the same equivalent basically, back in 2007. This is a big deal. Do you reckon it's sort of a free shot for Arsenal, or will they see it that way, or like what kind of way can they go into it?
No, I don't think they'd see it as a free shot. They'll enjoy the fact that they're underdogs, but it'll be hurting them as well that we were all looking at Chelsea to make this breakthrough this season. We didn't really put that in Arsenal's hands. So Arsenal, I'm sure they still see themselves as the powerhouse in women's football, even though in recent times that hasn't been the case, because we just look back on tradition, and you named all the Irish girls that were there in that period of dominance, and how they kind of forged the way for teams in England to grow into what it is now. I think it's the strongest league that there is now. So I think they won't be seeing it as a free shot. I think they'll be seeing this more as a launch pad back to being the big team in England. Because we're seeing what Chelsea are doing in the transfer market, and it's really, really impressive. And if Arsenal don't become attractive in that way that they're going to win European Cups, Chelsea will continue to attract the players and continue to become the most powerful team. Success in Europe changes everything in terms of how attractive a prospect they are for, a lot of those players who were playing Lyon, they got big beaten. You've got American players now looking to the league. I think it could be huge for the transfer market if Arsenal can pull this off. If big if,
Yeah.
because Barcelona, yeah, Chelsea were poor, but Barcelona, oh my God.
Yeah, they were absolutely phenomenal. But I think it is that aspect, like you say, that maybe Arsenal have been the ones that have been domineering and sort of leading the way. And they have done, obviously, off the field in recent years, increase in attendances and all the rest. But as you say, everyone was looking to Chelsea to be the ones to kind of bridge that barrier. Obviously, Barcelona beat them 4-1 over the weekend, 8-2 overall, following on from the 4-1 in the first leg as well. The aggregate scoreline is just kind of hard to get your head around just when you think about what Chelsea are capable of and what everyone's seen them do in the WSL. But is it a mentality thing for them when it comes to the Champions League? I know you mentioned the defence is obviously something they need to shore up on Scarlett.
Yeah, but I think even on the mentality thing, you bring in the likes of Sonia Bombaster, who's obviously been successful in that competition, and like you think to yourself, this is the click for them now. She knows what's needed and what's required to go that the full length in the competition. But yeah, it's just two poor performances back to back, and we have seen Chelsea not be at their best at times this season, and just not showing up in the big game. The two legs, like so. I think if you're Sonia Bombaster, like she even came out after and said, if we don't succeed in the future in this competition, I'll take full responsibility. It's on me. So I think she knows that obviously they didn't show up and obviously takes responsibility for that, which is good. But I think the players as well, you bring in the likes of Lucy Bronze, who obviously has that experience, and like I don't know, you're bringing Ciara Walsh as well, like coming from Barcelona, having won Champions League before and stuff, and you're just it can't be a mentality thing. Players have been there, done that, and they can bring that experience in. So I'm not really sure what it is. It's just disappointing because obviously to have if we had two English teams in Champions League final, I don't even know if that's happened before. I don't think it has, but it would be very significant for the league and for English football, and obviously it would probably help over here as well. But yeah, it's just disappointing from Chelsea. Like, they just didn't look at it at all. Changed the play a lot as well. They put Baltimore up front, which I thought was strange. I know she can play up there, but she's been sort of left full all year. And I don't know. Obviously, putting Girma back in after being injured as well, I didn't think she looked that sharp at all. I think she was togged out for the 21s once or twice in the last few weeks. But even that, only playing maybe 40 minutes against Palace and then putting her in that huge game as well. I know she's a seasoned pro, but it's like lacking that match sharpness, and if you don't have that against Barcelona, they're just gonna ping it around you like, and that's kind of what happened.
I think it's a warning shot for Arsenal as well. Like the back line for Chelsea were so poor. Neve Charles was done a few
Broken.
times. I thought over both legs, Millie Bright looked out of sorts, which was really unusual. But you could tell that her and Girma weren't on the same page because they're just keeping people on sides, not picking up the player. And then you were talking about experience, Ciara Walsh and Lucy Bronze, who they brought in for, this exact reason. I thought really, really poor. I thought centre midfield left the back line a little bit exposed. Cuthbert was doing her best. She was probably one of the better performers in the game. But yeah, there was too many people playing poorly in the back line. Obviously, Barcelona didn't allow them to establish any type of rhythm in their own attacking play because Barcelona dominated the ball so much. Like that, to have over 60% possession in a game where you're already 4-0 up away from home just kind of shows how good they are. The thing that will be interesting, obviously Arsenal had a really good shot conversion rate against Lyon, but also, Barcelona, like 50% of their shots were on target and 50% of those on target ones turned into goals. They're so clinical and they can get goals from so many places. I think there'll be a clash of styles. I think Barcelona will want to dominate the game. Arsenal will sit back and try and counter. So it'll be interesting to see if how Barcelona would react to that because I do think Arsenal will be, I guess, less naive going into it than Chelsea, where Chelsea probably thought they could go and impose themselves on Barcelona and they were shown that that wasn't the case. So yeah, I think it'll be, I don't think we'll see huge expansive football from Arsenal, but I think that's probably the most effective way to enter into a game against a team like Barcelona because some of the play and some of the passing that they have is just, it's such a joy to watch. Like, we don't get it week in, week out in some of the games that we're watching in the WSL. And obviously they don't play it because things are so easy for them in the Spanish league. But this is where they really come into their own and show how good they are.
Some of the shots as well, like two of the goals were near post finishes that they had absolutely no right to get
Well,
near.
Matty had no right to score that against probably the best goalkeeper in England. Like, no right. But she's the best player in the world, so I guess maybe she does.
Yeah, talking about the statistics there, I'd love to see sort of the XG on those kind of things. But yeah, as you say then, going into the final, we talked about there probably Arsenal's kind of slant at it. What would you say Barcelona are feeling right now, looking ahead to Arsenal and their opponents?
Confident, I'd say. Chelsea are dominating the English league for the last few years, and Arsenal can't get at them. And then obviously they're pushing Chelsea aside, and now Arsenal are the next opponents. I'd say they'll much rather play Arsenal than the Lyon side. But yeah, I can't. I hope Arsenal put it up to them, because I think it'd be very disappointing to go into that game and for Arsenal to get run out of it. But hopefully, as Karen says, not they're not as naive. Like, I think that Chelsea did make it very easy for them. Like, even you look at that first goal, but Matty runs from inside her own half, and Neve Charles puts a half arse tackle in, and then Millie Bright jogs over to her at half pace. Like, that's the best player in the world, and she's through on goal. Like, of course she's gonna stick it in the near. Like, of course she's gonna stick on the top corner. Like, there's. I don't know what you're thinking in that scenario. Like, they have to close her down. I think, to be fair, Nuskin comes across, realizes she's tracking, realizes she's not going to get there, swaps with Millie Bright. It takes them about 2 seconds, which is way too long, to sort of talk to each other in that moment and say, right, you go. And sure, Millie Bright's dawdling over. Like, it was way too easy. And when that goal goes in, like, the game's done. Like, it's over.
Yeah,
And
it was
yeah.
3 minutes after Nuskin has missed a really good
Yeah.
chance to maybe get them back into the game. Yeah, 25 minutes and the game is over. Like, that's so disappointing from Chelsea point of view.
Yeah, and then it snowballs from there, because the confidence goes, Barcelona are flying, and they just playing their own style. Like, Chelsea didn't bring anything to the game. Barcelona are just able to play their own style of football, and when they get into a flow, it's not tiki taka. It's what Barcelona are known for in the men's and women's. It's just unstoppable once they get flowing in it. Like,
Helps when you have someone like Pino also who can ping one in from 30 yards top corner and the keeper can only watch it. Like, they have it coming from all angles attacking wise. It's just going to be interesting to see how they deal defensively with the pace and power of Arsenal on the counter.
for sure. You talk about sides that were flying there. Both Piemont and Shamrock Rovers were flying back at home in the All-Ireland Cup. Galway took on Cliftonville. Tralee were battling it out with Waterford. Sligo Rovers took on Bohemians. Shelburne clashed with Linfield. And then, as I said, Shamrock Rovers taking on Deal Or Waves. A 6-0 win for you guys, Scarlett. Not a bad weekend out.
Yeah, I think it was good for us to bounce back from the week before. Obviously, it had lost to Wexford in the league, so it was good for us to get out and get a good run of a game, and obviously get a few goals. So yeah, it was good to bounce back. But we're actually playing them this weekend in the league again, so it's kind of tricky when that happens, when you're playing the same team 2 weeks in a row. And you can't go into the game now thinking that's going to be the same. Obviously, it's going to be a different game completely. But yeah, we're happy to get the win, and that's kick off the All Ireland campaign. It's all that really matters.
He made with the 3-0 win against Cork as well. What's your opinions on the competition? It's obviously kind of tricky to have so many competitions going at the same time.
Yeah,
Don't care.
I changed my mind on it the whole time. I saw value in it this weekend, for us, because we've been picking up a few niggles and stuff, and it gave us an opportunity to get girls game time at senior level and get them playing really well, so that when they do come on now in the league, that they some of the nerves I think will be dissipated for them. So there was certainly value in that. I saw Cork change their whole midfield. So again, you're giving underage players a good chance. You're giving players who will probably play every minute of every game a bit of rest, which, you know, is important. It depends on how you look at it. Like, I think both ourselves and Rovers put out a reasonably strong team, partly because we were down numbers, partly for other reasons. One of our reasons was we played really well in three league games and come out with 1 point until last week when we played DLR. And we didn't want to sit on those 3 points that we finally got. We worked really hard to eventually get a game where we got 3 points. And momentum can be a really big thing. So we wanted to make sure that we got another win under our belts just so we can get a bit of something rolling. And then we're going into Sligo next week. So again, I will be aiming for 3 points in that and maybe. Just have it's a momentum builder as well. But look, there's pros and cons to it, definitely. I'm looking for the pros mostly. I'm gonna stay on a positive track here.
It was probably one of those, the time of the World Cup here, you could definitely see the merit in it, because obviously it gets different players. But yeah, maybe it kind of evolves over time. It's certainly something in the men's League of Ireland side.
The spread is interesting because, like, because it's so spread out this year, I'm not sure does it lose its impact a little bit. You know, the games are pretty randomly thrown in. So if you're aiming to win this, you're not building momentum within this competition. You know, you're just feeding off how you're playing at any given time throughout the league, and it's going to be dependent on your league form, how you get on in this competition, as opposed to some teams who this is viably their best opportunity to win a competition. So, yeah, I think it's always going to be a strange one, and you won't really know who's gunning for it until a couple of games, until we get to the knockout phases.
Yeah, and then as you say, even the teams themselves mightn't know who's going for it either until it gets to that. The Coigiog Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at the Coigiog Pod or email the Coigiog Pod at offtheball.com. Now though, quick break and Scarlett will be back with the team of the week. So, guys, in terms of the bread and butter of what everyone else was back doing at home in the WSL, Liverpool played out obviously a 2-2 draw with Tottenham. Crystal Palace lost out 7-1 to West Ham. Brighton overcame Everton 3-2. And meanwhile, Leicester and Man City finished 1-0 in favour of the Manchester club. But, Scarlett, who stood out for you and made the cut of the team of the week?
Yeah, so obviously two games not played, so a bit of a smaller selection this week. Had Ciara Keaton in goal for saving Man City the 3 points in that game. Right back, Sarah Holmgaard, two centre halves, Gracie Pryor and Selena Zdorski. Left back, Ashley Neville. Two in midfield, Riku Uwecki and Leah Alexandri. We're seeing her in a different role against at the a weekend. Left wing, we have Vivian Essie. Right wing, we have Fran Kirby, and up front we have Shakira Martinez and Sophie Hogg.
Yeah, breaking my heart seeing Ciara Keaton in there because I was hoping Leicester could do Man United a favour, because I feel like Chelsea are going to be a bit of a wounded animal during the week and come out and absolutely hump Man United. But yeah, I think it was Kane had a one-on-one that really saved City in that. Now, City obviously were deserving of the win because, you know, they dominated possession, but they weren't very clinical. So I was holding out hope, but Ciara Keaton pulled off two massive stops to give them all 3 points. And yeah, West Ham obviously rightfully have good representation in there because of their really, really dominant performance. And we should probably talk about West Ham a little bit, because just the turn of form for them has been immense in more recent times. And if they can get some consistency next year, when you do have, and they can keep the likes of Martinez and Osayi, I think that they should do better. They should be spoken about a little bit better. I think they're mid-table now because they benefited from a lot of people being much poorer than them, but they should still be aiming to be there thereabouts next year. Usually we just have Katrina Gorry in there because she's just so busy and she's doing all the defensive work as well as getting forward to them. But Martinez getting 4 goals, including a perfect hat trick, and then still being outshone by Osayi's chip. Yeah, there was some really good play in there. And obviously Hogg came up trumps for Liverpool in that game. Can't really fault it. I guess Brighton, just you've picked Kirby, could have been Paris equally, because their combination play was so good in that game. So they really showed just how important it is to have game intelligence and people like that on the field who that can make a difference and can pull something out of the bag at a really pivotal time, you know, at the end of the game, when Everton had put it up to them, in fairness. So yeah, really good team, Scarlett.
And then obviously you touched on it there, Karen, but in the 7-1 encounter, that one obviously really sticks out given the scoreline. But Martinez with the 4 goals, bringing her to 9 total for the season. That puts her firmly in the golden boot race now, just 3 behind Shaw at the minute, which is kind of mad when you think about it.
Yeah, it hasn't been a year for kind of prolific striking. Again, I think that's to do with Shaw's injury. But because she'd usually be kind of up there, and before that it was Medina again. Injuries have kind of held her back a little bit. If you know the Jonas Eidevall or affect her, if the new Arsenal manager come in earlier in the season, I think maybe we would have seen Russo up there, because her form has dramatically improved in recent times as well when they're playing with a bit more freedom. But yeah, Martinez, she has all the attributes, you know, like say if you score with your head, your left and your right in one game, shows the kind of striker she is. So yeah, she's put herself up there.
And then obviously from the other side of things, Scarlett, that match saw Crystal Palace relegated, which we don't so much love to see from the Irish point of view, given our few reps in there.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we have three representatives there, and it's obviously not great, but I always thought Palace would put it up to teams to come in. Obviously, they've got a few hammerings, but I think it took them a while to sort of get to terms with the league and sort of get the learn the ropes, I suppose. But I'd say they'll obviously have a tough going now in the championship. It's a competitive league, and even you're looking at towards this weekend, like the last game of the year, Birmingham and London City, the winner's gonna go up. So it just shows how competitive it is, and so how it can come down to the last day. And obviously the fixture, whoever organized the fixtures this year is sort of rubbing his hands
Yeah,
together
they're
going,
getting a raise.
brilliant. Yeah, they're getting raised, they're getting promoted, like. But yeah, that'll be exciting as well to see who comes up there. But yeah, I think for Palace, it was they didn't really, oh, what am I trying to say here? Jesus. Oh, to be fair, they did well, to be fair, and they're coming up in their first year in the WSL. Like, they didn't dis they obviously were disappointed with it, but I think they did themselves proud coming into a new league. And obviously players like, you're looking
Yeah.
at Abby Larkin, got great experience there, and Hayley Norton at the back. I know Izzy's been sort of in and out the last while, but even at that, like, great experience for them coming into the top league in the world, as we were mentioning earlier. So
I just felt looking at them that they seemed, compared to West Ham, it just seemed like physically lighter. Obviously, they'll have a number of young girls in that panel. And I think they brought in Stengel. If they could bring in a few more people like that, who, when you get promoted, if you bring in people who have experience, they might not be these young up-and-coming players, but someone who can kind of steady a ship. I think you always need one in each line of the pitch, goalkeeper, back. I think, even if it's someone coming towards the end of their career, you don't need to have this long-term view. Your view is to try and stay up and survive. And I think sometimes you need to just bring in experience on 1 year contracts, if that's what it is. Because it's so hard. Because you're obviously at a loss in terms of finances. You're not going to have the big bucks that Chelsea have to pad a team. But I think, yeah, you kind of have to have a short-term view for longer term success, because it's so hard. It'll be interesting to see now who comes up next year and how they bolster their squads, because they've, like you say, Palace did themselves justice this year, but it's a big bridge to kind of overcome to stay up, especially when all these big clubs who are established men's clubs are starting to be pushed to back their teams a bit more. If Lionesses come up, they're obviously dependent on internal investment, so it'd be interesting to see how much they would get if they do come up.
for sure. And you also touched on how Nikita Paris was a big factor in Brighton's game alongside Kirby. That was Brighton's first league double over Everton, and they ended their 3-game losing streak with that one. How important will that be now coming to the back end of the season?
Yeah, I spoke a lot about Brighton at the start of the year. I thought they were really, really good, and obviously they've had that fall off, but yeah, that'll be good for them just to try end the last few games on a positive note. I think they have the players there, and obviously, like, Caitlin Hayes coming in halfway through the season as well. It's probably great for her to get that experience, and to have the likes of Paris and Kirby, those players who have been there, done that in the league for years, and sort of to bring the other players along. Like, you look even at Agumon came out, who's now playing for them. She's maybe 18, coming into the league fresh, and she's been really, really positive. Like, she's one of those quick players, very tricky. So I think she could be a player to look out for maybe next season. But yeah, I think that they can definitely take positives from this year. They've been building a new style of play, which is obviously difficult for players to come to terms with. And I think once other teams figured it out, it was kind of easy to combat. But I think once they build on that and maybe get a few other players in, hopefully there's a bit of investment there, and they can look to kick on again
Yeah,
next year. I think
they're
they're
probably
still
one of the teams I'm
there.
excited to see, because Vidasic has done so much in the space of, a year, just in terms of they're much better to watch this year. He brought in some really good players, and now he's had a year to kind of get to grips with everything and understand kind of the environment. I think that he's a really strong manager, and he's getting really good stuff out of his players. So I don't think that they'll fall away. I don't think it was kind of like a one hit wonder with them. I hope it isn't, because from where they were last year to where they are now, it's night and day, and I think a lot of it comes down to him. So I'm hoping that he, brings in just a couple other players like he did last year, and And yeah, that they continue to improve. It's good to see kind of good young managers making an impact in the league.
Elsewhere, we'll touch on it briefly. I think the last time I was on, we were talking about how Spurs continue to sort of leak goals
Be
on.
Spurs.
And it continues to be the case. Two goals off, conceded from corners off Liverpool there at the weekend again for them.
Yeah, it was just battle of who could defend worse from corners, I think, in this game. All of them came from crosses and set plays. To be fair, Spurs started quite well. They tested Laws a bit. But yeah, Spurs were better than they have been, but again, they love playing themselves into trouble, a little pass into midfield, and then Liverpool are quite good on the counter and could have capitalized a little bit more. But yeah, it was really just a game of nods and crosses. At the end, they both had a chance to win it, both had headed chances to win it. But I think, to be fair, probably 2-all was a fair enough result on the balance of things.
Finally, then, it may not suggest it on the scoreline front, but City's 1-0 win over Leicester, probably the most impactful result of the weekend, you could say. It keeps obviously Champions League football slightly alive for City, as you mentioned, Scarlett Keating with a few big saves on the day. They're now 4 points behind Manchester United, who have 3 games, which is obviously one more than City. Although those two Manchester clubs play this weekend as well, that's going to be a spicy one.
Yeah, I think they play on Wednesday night. I think there's two fixtures then. So, yeah, it'll be the 6-pointer, won't it? It'll really either put the pressure on United or take all the pressure off them. So, I think for City, if they're looking for something to take from that game, I think they're gonna have to find different ways to create chances against United, because I know Leicester sat back off them, but they couldn't really break them down. A lot of their chances were sort of outside the box, like shots, and I don't know, they just didn't really create enough for me. And especially when you're going against a team that have only conceded what, like eight goals, 7 goals this year. They're gonna really struggle to break them down. So, I think they'll need to get a bit creative in the training ground this week to try break them down. But yeah, definitely gonna be one to watch this Wednesday.
I'm worried. I'm worried for Man United, to be honest. I do think Chelsea will obviously win. Then it's down to 4 points in 2 games, and you're kind of look. Some people will be like, "Oh, Arsenal might rest players in the last game of the season." There's not a hope. There's 14 days or something between the last game of the season and Arsenal's Champions League, so they'll actually view it as their dress rehearsal for the Champions League final, which scares me a bit as well. So, yeah, it could be. I'd be happy enough if Man United would park that bus against Man City, and we see kind of that kind of performance, and they get away with a nil all. But yeah, it's squeaky bum time.
Yeah, as I say, whoever's doing the fixtures, they're going to get a raise. The Corgi on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official slot partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. As I said, if you want to get in touch with us, tweet at the Corgi Pod or email the Corgi Pod at offtheball.com. Thanks very much to Karen and Scarlett. I've been Alana Cannan, and this has been the Corgi Podcast. The guys will be back with another pod for you very shortly. Until then, thanks for joining us and see you soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.